Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Welcome back. 3 o'clock hour, Jay Binkley, Rob Britton, Carrington, back on Monday. At around 3:35, play the Royals attendance. Price is right. Michael Lorenzen goes for the Royals tonight as they try for the series victory over the Angels. The NFL cutdown date is August 27th. Here's the thing, though, Rob. How many of these cuts do you think we'll see Friday, but wait before we even get to the 27th? Gives them a chance to get another team.
It's hard to know. I think the big names we'll see Friday. Like, remember, I believe it was the Eagles. Remember when they cut LeSean McCoy in 2019?
Yeah.
That came down pretty quick. And that was a different roster, the whole thing.
But chance to catch on with another team.
I think the bigger names will leak out early. No offense to your smaller names. No offense to your... Sorry, K-State, you're going to catch a stray here. Phillip Brooks, I don't think his name leaks out until late, till closer to actual cutdown day, because it just, the bigger names get cut earlier to give them a chance to latch on.
Give them a chance to latch on, and of course, some of these guys you want to keep on your 60-man practice squad, so you're hoping to stash them there and hope nobody goes out and takes them. That's how Harrison Butker ended up at Kansas City Chief, was when he was on with Carolina. But the wide receivers, this has been the big talk. How many does Andy Reid keep? The most he's ever kept is 7. That was last year. A lot of 6s he's kept since 2013, some 5s that he's kept. But I'm firmly on 7, Rob. But who's the odd man out? Worthy, put him there for sure. Rashee Rice would make the team. I think Justin Watson easily. But Cole Hardman and Hollywood Brown. That's your 5 right there in no particular order. And then it comes down to 6 or 7, if you keep 7. And you do the math, and I think they keep 4 running backs, to be honest with you, too, because I think that Carson Steele makes it his fullback. And I think it cuts down tight ends. I think that's where the sacrifice is made. Instead of 4 tight ends with Irv Smith, they keep 3. But will it be Justin Ross, Sky Moore, Nico Remigio? Who's going to be the odd man out? It does not hurt that Nico has special teams coach Dave Tobe on his side. That's what Dave Tobe said yesterday.
I mean, Nico did a great job. I'll be pounding the table for that guy. I love him.
He'll be pounding the table for that guy. This is the coach that got Devin Hester in the Hall of Fame. He's a special teams coach. It's been here since 2013. Obviously, he can return kicks, and he's good on special teams as well. But if Nico and Dave Tobe gets his way, then who's the odd man out, Justin Ross or Sky Moore? Because I kind of believe Sky Moore's going to be on this team. I think they're going to find a way to have. Now, it's been mixed results at camp. He's shown good hands, and he knows the routes, and he can run inside slot. He can run on the outside. He can do everything you want there. Justin Ross, to me, and this isn't on the bandwagon of Justin Ross, but he's actually shown some good hands, Rob. I mean, he's a different skill set than what they have. At his height, he's different. Listen, MVS was 6'4" and ran a 4.37, but he didn't play like that. MVS played a lot smaller than being 6'4" and runs a 4.37. But Justin Ross gives him something different. Does Justin Ross actually make the team this year, in your opinion, Rob?
I don't think so. And I think it's it's just the crunch of the roster. We had Mitch Holtis on the show during launch day when we moved from 610 to 96.5 The Fan. And Mitch pointed out that he thinks the Chiefs are going to carry four tight ends. So they're carrying four tight ends, and you're carrying three, maybe four running backs. Maybe you manipulate it and make Carson Steele a fullback, and you're able to carry four running backs, but one's carrying a fullback title.
I think they do keep four. I had four tight ends as well, but yes. Now I just have three.
But if you're going to carry four tight ends, I don't know you can carry seven wideouts. Like, that's a lot of skill position players, because you got to have big guys up front. So you start running through the roster math of it, and you look at it. Brown, Worthy, Otto Locks. Rashee Rice in the Otto Lock category, too. I forgot about him. Excuse me. Those are three locks. I think Hardman and Watson are both in the lock category as well.
Yep.
So now I'm at five, and that just leaves a grouping of Remigio, and we know the power Dave Tobe has on this roster. His voice is very much heard on cutdown day. He likes Remigio. Tony and Moore, what do they do there? And then you get to Justin Ross. There's, what, one, two spots for four guys?
You're down between Sky Moore, Nico, and Justin Ross. And Sky Moore and Nico play more special teams, obviously.
I just think if they're carrying four tight ends, they're not carrying Justin Ross. That's just how I feel. Now, maybe they cut Irv Smith, and they go with the three tight ends, and that opens up a spot on the back end. But if they're carrying four tight ends, I don't see them carrying seven wide receivers.
And Irv Smith can be put on the practice squad, unless some teams can put him on their active roster, because you can put veterans on your practice squad at this point. So if they needed to elevate another tight end, Jared Wiley gets hurt, or Noah Gray gets hurt, or Kelsey, somebody gets hurt, you can activate him from the practice squad. Because remember, you can do that twice, or you can elevate a guy from the practice squad to the roster. So you can do that. But Tony, I think, is completely the odd man out. It's going to be a battle. Sky Moore won a couple rings with him. Of course, Nico's been here in the practice squad, but he plays special teams. You got Dave Tobe, quote, pounding the table for Nico. I mean, that's something he flat out said. I'll never forget when Andy Reid, this is back on July 31st. It was during one of his press conferences. He said this about Kadarius Toney, and I was like, I honestly thought the writing was on the wall in July.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, you want to be there every day. And so anytime you miss, you miss, especially during install days, you know, you're missing a load there. So, but that he's got to take care of what he's got and get himself back out there when he can.
Whatever he's got. Remember, it was the ankle with Toney, and then it was the back? And I know he's got mad skills. We know that. But again, what's the trust level with him from the coaching staff and
does
the,
he
and
have
the quarterback
mad skills? Like, everyone just says that like it's some sort of.
I think he does, though.
No, have we ever seen these skills?
Flashes of it. But then I've been sitting here in the post game going, whoa. Like, Tony's like leaving jock straps on the field. Like, he shows that ability, but he got to be on the field. And when they were going to have running back plays with him and stuff like that, I'm sitting here going, how's he going to withstand that? He can't even play wide receiver without getting hurt. But I do think he's gone, Rob. But that was pretty telling to me. Well, he's missing all the install days, and he'll be back with whatever he's got. Right? That was pretty bad right there for Kadarius Toney, to be honest with you. Because could it be a guy they stashed on injured reserve all year just to keep his rights? Maybe. I think that ship has sailed, though. But I do think it's going to be fun between Sky Moore and Justin Ross. Like, who do you trust more in the passing game? And you'll probably get a big load of Justin Ross and Sky Moore against the Bears tomorrow night, even though the Bears will not be playing their starters. Caleb Williams will not be playing in that game. And a lot of the number twos and threes will be starting that game on defense for the Bears. So always keep that in mind when you see somebody like Nico or Justin Ross going out and having a big game. Just remember who they're playing against. That's the one thing about preseason. That was the good news about Carson Steele getting reps like with the ones. Because then you see how valuable they are when you're, you know, behind that first offensive line and you're with the other starters that are in the game, because Chiefs kept their offensive line in longer than when they pulled Mahomes and Kelsey out of that game. Are you buying the whole behind the back was a mystery, Rob, or you think that was a planned play? Because we've seen that exact play in training camp.
We've seen it in training camp.
Isaiah Pacheco got the exact same play.
I don't buy the... It's like he was mad and he did it to because he was upset.
I don't think Kelsey runs wrong routes either.
I mean, yeah, Kelsey's been on this team for every year since Reed's been here?
This is his 12th year, yeah.
Yes, I don't believe that.
Yeah, it's hard to find it. But Kadarius Toney, it might be time to start looking around. But again, these cuts will come out starting on Friday, and you'll see them trickling on Saturday and Sunday. They have to make their final decision on Monday, the 27th. I think, Tuesday's the 27th, excuse me. So they have to make that decision by Tuesday. And if you're the last man on the roster, the 53, you still have to worry about it because people can be poached for another practice squad. And trust me, there'll be players out there, teams out there looking at who the Chiefs are putting on the practice squad. A lot like John Schneider had when he was with the Seahawks. People just kept waiting to see who they were going to cut and put on their practice squad before they went out and got them. But coming up next, Rob, especially you guys do every day, 15 days to kickoff at this point, right? Patrick Mahomes' number of days to kickoff. And you've been doing this every day, right? Since when?
Since 100 days.
Since 100 days. So we're at 15 now. NFL topics, 15 days to kickoff. Real kickoff. We talk about that next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Counting down the 100 days until the Chiefs' title defense begins at Arrowhead.
Harrison Butker set to kick it off. The run-up. Butker's kick in Super Bowl 58 is underway in a high, deep spinning kick.
Every day at 3:15 on The Drive.
Hey, welcome back to weekly. Rob Britton, CDOT back on Monday. Well, Rob, you started this thing, 85 days ago? Working days ago? 15 days, Patrick Mahomes days, until, or Dylan or Iola if you're a Nebraska fan, because he was named the starter there as well. I'll get to it. The text line's been asking me if I saw where Peyton has named Bo Nix as starter. Yes, we're going to get right into that with NFL topics. But speaking of NFL, did you see what Ja'Marr Chase allegedly wants? Now, keep in mind, he's under contract this year and next year as well, because he's a first-round pick, so you get the 5 years. Did you see what he allegedly has been looking for? Because he's not practicing, and the Bengals desperately need Ja'Marr Chase. He wants $40 million a year.
I mean, that's not surprising. He wants Justin Jefferson money.
Of course he does. And will the Bengals pay it? The Bengals have been notorious for not paying players. They paid Joe Burrow the bank. He got the bag. Will they pay everybody else? Because then the guys on defense start wanting money. I always thought that Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow would be a great combination because they were together in college. Heck, Ja'Marr Chase won the Biletnikoff with Burrow in college. But to me, the Bengals, if we're going to put him on, tier one, he's got to get to practice because he's not been there. You know, in other news around the NFL, did you see Trent Williams? He's not back yet. He hasn't. McCaffrey's been dealing with an issue. Schrader actually started for him in the preseason game a couple days ago, the 49ers. We got the final preseason week tomorrow against the Bears. And there's a handful of games on Sunday. I mean, how would you like to be playing on Sunday when you get your cuts on Tuesday? I'd just soon play on Thursday. I think the last preseason game, they all should play on Thursday, to be honest with you. Get it out of the way. Get these guys some extra rest before the season.
Remember when the preseason used to end the same day college football began?
It did.
And there'd be like a Thursday night game. You'd be like, I remember Kenny Hill. Remember the Kenny Hill was the hottest name in college football for like 48 hours? Kenny Hill played South Carolina the same night the Chiefs played like preseason game number 3 1 year. And I remember being like, who would watch the preseason over college football? So I like that the NFL preseason is overdone in the rearview mirror by the time actual college football starts. Like, I know we have week zero, but by the time week one starts, we're not talking about, oh man, what's the deal with, you know, quarterback three? How'd Chris Oladokun look? That, none of that anymore that goes up against actual college football games.
Are you looking forward to Saturday's Florida State Georgia Tech game in Ireland?
Yes, because I want to see what Florida State is, but
yeah, I think they're the odd team out of the playoffs.
It kind of reminds me of last year's Navy versus Notre Dame game. It'll be exciting to watch because football's back on, but then like after a half, I feel like it'll be like, all right, we know who the superior team here is. We're kind of done.
But at least you get college football. Actually, we have real football now from now until end of the Super Bowl because you got college football this weekend. So we have real football. High school football is getting ready to start in Missouri. So we got real football. I mean, it's here. I mean, all that waiting and stuff, it's done. I mean, football is here. You get the preseason out of the way. The last preseason game is, honestly, I hate it. I don't like preseason football. I used to like it a little bit more, but third preseason game, no value unless you're filling out the end of your roster, but you're not going to see any starters in this game. This is the game people give their tickets away. This is the game people give them, hey, you want to go to the Chiefs game tonight? You want to go see it? Because you're not going to see any of the stars playing in this game tomorrow. But there is some redeeming value, and we'll talk about that tomorrow with some guys that definitely could make roster spots due to that. That game's actually big for some players on this team. Not all. I think eventually the NFL gets rid of it. I definitely think they're going down to two games when they expand the season to 18, because 18 games, I think they're going to do that. They have the extra bye week, get that extra TV window in there. Definitely think that's going to happen. But I think preseason eventually is going to go down to where teams just scrimmage each other. And I know the Chiefs and Raiders, teams that don't practice against other teams. But all it is a bunch of fights and things that happen. Look at the Jets and Giants. They were talking trash to each other. Do you get much value out of that, or do you get more value from the Chiefs with this offense going against this great defense? Or this defense going against Mahomes every day? Because to be honest with you, I think Chiefs get more value out of that than they even do in the preseason games because they see a better defense. Spags dials things up at times. They're getting much better looks than what you get in preseason with vanilla defenses and not seeing anything. So you see more in practice for the Kansas City Chiefs. But the AFC West is starting to shape. Look like Justin Herbert's now back at practice for the Chargers. He's back throwing the foot. I will say this, though, Rob. The few days where he was out, the few weeks that he was out, I do believe Carson Wentz became the second-best quarterback in the AFC West without Herbert practicing. Because I think it's better than what you've seen from Gardner Minshew. And you saw the old workout video from the Raiders. He's ready to go. I like Gardner Minshew. I liked him going back to Washington State. And he transferred from there to there. But Gardner Minshew is always serviceable. Aiden O'Connell, I think he's terrible. I think it's a bad choice between both. Denver, I think, was ready to go forward. Russell Wilson wasn't near. For all they gave up for Russell Wilson, this ought to make Chiefs fans happy that Denver, to me, it's go back to the start. Same with the Raiders. They were advancing. I think they were building their rosters up well, but now it's you hit that space in a game where you have to go back to the start. You have to go back to start without a quarterback. But Bo Nix was named the starter for the Denver Broncos today. And Zach Wilson, of course, there as well. And, you know, Sean Payton's talking big things with him. But I always thought it was interesting that Sean Payton took this job because he knew he was going to be hamstrung with Russell Wilson there in the beginning. Then could he get his quarterback? Did they settle on getting Bo Nix as their starting quarterback? Or does Sean Payton know something different? Now, they've been playing the game that they schooled the Raiders on draft night.
Behind us were the Raiders. And So our concern right behind us were the Raiders, and then it was like, well, call the Raiders and tell them we might want to move back to see if.
Yeah,
and so there was this, they didn't want to move up, and then there's that, you know, minute you wait, and then we'll stay put, and the Jets make their pick, and then here we are.
What was the reaction like in the draft room?
It was outstanding. It was outstanding.
Did you see it? It was amazing.
You buying that? And let's call the Raiders. We'll mess with the Raiders. We want to move back, but we really want to sit there and draft Bo Nix. Would the Raiders have drafted Bo Nix? I don't think they would have. I don't think that was ever in their plans. I think the Raiders will grab their quarterback next year. Whether it's via free agents, because obviously with Tom Brady, he's not part of that organization now because NFL owners haven't approved it yet, but he basically is. they have to come up with how much money he's going to pay going forward if he's going to be a part owner of the Raiders. But clearly he sees the value in quarterback there. But Bo Nix was a great college quarterback. And I've seen a ton of great college quarterbacks. What can they really do in the NFL? Is this Sean Payton's real answer? Because Drew Brees, when he had him in New Orleans, won a Super Bowl with him, a lot of that was Drew Brees, man. He made plays all over the place. And as head coach, that was like the perfect guy for you. But you look at the AFC West and you think, okay. Because right now, Mahomes, miles ahead of anybody else. Next best quarterback in this division is clearly Justin Herbert. Not even close. And you put Herbert with Harbaugh. It's a very good combination, to be honest with you. But Sean Payton and the Broncos, which direction are they going? The Raiders? The Raiders are a good team, but they're sitting here screwing around with, you know, your Gardner Minshews of the world. He's going to throw as many picks as he does touchdowns. I always like Gardner Minshew, but that's not a guy to lead your organization. And I don't know where you come out on this, Rob. Listen, Bo Nix had some mixed reviews at Auburn. He really did. At Oregon, I thought he was very good. But again, sometimes you're a product of your system. I don't believe in Bo Nix like I did the other quarterbacks in this draft. I just didn't. Obviously, Sean Payton does. He believes in Bo Nix and the direction he's going. But even like Zach Wilson, this was Sean Payton just on Zach Wilson, who will be in the mix there for the Broncos.
This freaking Zach Wilson now, the last week and a half.
It's great.
I grabbed him and I said, look, I just want you to focus on having fun and playing. My job is to make you millions either with us or for another team.
Wow.
His last 2 weeks have been outstanding. Yeah.
But he wasn't named your starter. Bo Nix was named your starter. What kind of millions is going to make Zach Wilson? The guy was sent for, what, a six-pack of beer. I mean, he was hardly traded for anything. What was the value of Wilson? It was nothing, right? Broncos got nothing. I mean, it was a worthless trade because we saw Fields go to Pittsburgh and we saw Wilson be traded for literally nothing. But how's Sean Payton going to make him millions? I am curious about that. Does Bo Nix fit? Are you scared of Bo Nix? Does Bo Nix strike fear at any Chiefs fans? He shouldn't. I think the Denver Broncos I think the NFL is starved for quarterbacks. There's guys that were drafted this year that had no business being drafted in the first round. And then you got teams like Atlanta that really like Michael Penix that have been sitting him, even though they just paid the bag for Kirk Cousins to come in, which really doesn't make much sense. But Bo Nix is the Denver Broncos starter at this point. So good luck to Denver. You don't have a quarterback. How really good are you going to be? I think the Chiefs have proven that. Everybody's trying to search for that quarterback, for the best guy to lead the organization, the Patrick Mahomes effect on all these teams, because literally he's got that effect on teams. Teams are searching for that guy. They want the next Patrick Mahomes. They want the guy that they can just rely on. Is Bo Nix really that guy that you can rely on in Denver for the longest time? I don't think so. I'd be curious.
So you're out on Nix?
I'm out on Nix, man.
I don't think he was a great draft pick, but I don't think he was a great draft pick because of his age. Like, I think the hang up with Nix was always his age. I look now and I'm like, I think he can be a fine NFL starter. I don't know he's transcendent. I don't know he's a star. I don't know he's Mahomes or Brees or one of those, wow, can you believe we have him type of guys, but Bo Nix could easily be Kirk Cousins. Bo Nix could easily be Alex Smith. Like, I feel bad that those guys get thrown around as like, but there's nothing stopping Bo Nix from being the 9th to 16th, 17th, 18th best quarterback in the NFL. Bo Nix reeks of serviceable, but I don't think he's bad. Gardner Minshew is bad. Aiden O'Connell is bad. There are teams in the NFL where I'm like, oh, you're in a bad shape. I don't feel like the Broncos are in bad shape. I just don't think. I think they spent a lot of draft capital on a 27-year-old serviceable player. They drafted a signable free agent. That's how I view the Broncos. But I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I'm not out on him.
Well, the system in Oregon, he became a much better quarterback than he was at Auburn. Kind of forced out at Auburn. I mean, the guy played 5 years of college football. Does he really strike fear? Yeah, I don't think so. Bo Nix. Part of his game has been his scrambling ability. He had 510 yards rushing 2 years ago with Oregon, 234 this past year. I think the rushing yards come way down with Bo Nix in the National Football League. Serviceable quarterback, could he be a number two quarterback in the NFL at certain points? Yeah. But honestly, would you have Carson Wentz start or would you have Bo Nix start? I'd prefer Carson Wentz over Bo Nix, to be honest with you. But anyway, that's Denver's problem. But the AFC West in a mess right now, except for the Chiefs and the Chargers at the quarterback position. But it's been 15 days to kick off as we're 15 days till the Chiefs get going against the Baltimore Ravens. Coming up next, though, Royals attendance. Price is right. You get this, Rob?
I have a pretty good feel, but
okay. Let's
see how the fans do.
All right, let's see how the fans
dial
do.
Us up right now. The new number, which I'll try to get right this time, 586-7965. We need four callers. Royals attendance, Price is right on the other side.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
And welcome back to the Hinkley Rob Britton. That is the music of the Royals' Price is Right attendance game. Rob, tell them what we win.
You can win a free pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. If you get the correct attendance tonight, closest to the number without going over, just a little housekeeping, Bink. There is no promotion for tonight's game, which I find very odd for a Wednesday in August.
No t-shirts or dollar
night. No t-shirt, no dollar dog,
fireworks.
No bobblehead, no nurse's night, no nothing. Mm. There was
park at the park.
Nothing. There was 16,000 out there last night at the K for Royals and Angels.
16,310 to be exact, Rob. Interesting. What will people say? Do you put your guess in first or do you wait till the people go?
I'll let the people go first. Right. Let's start with Tyler. Tyler, how many people you got going to the K tonight?
Tyler, what do we have?
We're going to go one.
Can you repeat that, Tyler?
Just one.
$1?
Yeah.
All right. That's bold for the first
pick. Hey, why not?
I mean,
he's not going over.
Not going over.
So I mean, just Vern gives you that.
Let's go now to Devin. Devin, how many people do you have the K tonight?
I'm going with 15,069.
15,069.
I respect Devin for giving a real guess. That's no offense, Tyler. I see the game you're trying to play. You want the freebie, but come on now. Let's go now to Will. Will, how many people you got at the K tonight?
I'm going to go 17,000.
Even. 17 even.
Yep.
All right, Will.
All right, Jerry, you are last up. Our guesses have been one person, 15,069, and 17,000 even. Jerry, how many people do you have at Kauffman Stadium tonight?
17,001.
Ooh. Going to 17,001. Again, 16,310 was yesterday. But as Rob said, there's no giveaways tonight. No bobbleheads, no fireworks, no dollar dogs, no nothing.
And the Angels stink. Like,
they do.
There's nothing about the opponent that drags you to the ballpark. If you're going tonight, you want to see Bobby Witt. Pink, you want to go first? What's your feel? I'll give you my number. I'll tell you this. I think everyone is over the number. I think you're going to see like 14-5 tonight.
I'm going to go 15-120.
I don't think they're getting a big number tonight. No giveaway. School's back. The Angels are not an interesting opponent. The Royals have kind of settled into a nice playoff groove. There's 30-some-odd games left. The Philly series is lingering, which is a bigger deal. I think they're gonna see 14-5 tonight come through the turnstiles.
That could be it. But Lorenzen's pitching tonight against Johnny Cueto. Let's not forget old friend Johnny Cueto making his first MLB appearance this season with the Angels. Remember old Johnny Cueto? So, yeah, Johnny Cueto's getting his first start this year against Michael Lorenzen. The Royals should torch up Johnny Cueto. No way is this the same Johnny Cueto that you saw before. But you're not thinking Johnny Cueto's a draw, Rob? Not at all?
I mean this seriously. If we walked around the plaza right now, or Power and Light, or Brookside, whatever entertainment district you prefer, I know you love the North Side. Let's just say you're up in the Northland, yeah, walking around, and you pulled Royals fans. Yeah. I'm talking about people who are in a hat, gear, whatever. And you said, hey, who's pitching for the Angels tonight? Most people would have no idea it's Johnny Cueto.
I'd say 9 of 10 would not.
Oh, yeah. I would say 10 of 10 would not.
Remember he used to put on Instagram all his horses?
That was his big thing.
Remember his horses died and he like put pictures of them still? I'll never forget Wachowski. Cueto had got some bottle caps stuck on his feet there during the celebrations in 15 it was. But anyway, Johnny Cueto going against Michael Lorenzen tonight. I'm going 15-120. 16-310 was yesterday, but again, you say, you know, the no promotions out there tonight. So I'll go about, you know, 1,200 less than what we had a night ago. Now, are you buying the whole school's back argument?
Yes.
Yeah. Really?
Yes. For now.
It is the big week for it. Kids going back.
And I believe it's.
Meet the teacher and all that stuff.
I think tonight's the last. I think tonight and last night and Monday night were the only nights this applies. But the Royals in March, April, May, and then their next homestand after this run against the Phillies, they go back to those 6:30 starts on weekdays to get people in and out of the game a little faster. Like, are you taking your 9-year-old on a Wednesday night out there for a 7 o'clock start? You're not home until 10, 10:30, 11, and kids got school tomorrow? I do subscribe to the school theory, yes.
I always did too, but then like St. Louis is still packed the fans in and stuff like that. They have school too with their kids, but it's fun.
St. Louis ain't packing people in at all this year.
Not this year, they're not. Previous year, yes. Even when school, quote, started. But this Royals team is fun, man. Hey, by the way, I know we're going to switch over here to some NFL, but have you seen what's going on with the SEC today?
Their tiebreak scenario? Absolutely nonsensical.
The fifth tiebreaker is they draw names out of a hat instead of a coin flip. Now, I doubt it gets to that point, but isn't it five? I believe it is five. That is the tiebreaker is draw names out of a hat.
I mean, ruined the Big 12 last year, just didn't have a plan.
That was a joke as well. No, the other thing going on the SEC today was the Lane Kiffin's press conference. You know how they always have the Coca-Cola bottle up there, right? Like Nick Saban used to have that. His press conference would be a bottle of Coke. Well, Lane Kiffin's got a bottle of Coke too because Coke's one of their sponsors. But he starts talking and ranting about it. He says, does anybody drink Coke? You realize 130% of your sugar for the entire day is in one bottle, right? Like, that's not probably what you want to say with one of your sponsors. Brian Kelly in gamesmanship at LSU picks up that smart water and says, hey, Coca-Cola makes smart water. This is a smart thing to drink. Like, it's just funny seeing these coaches, you know, with their sponsors and everything. But you don't want to go off like Lane Kiffin. Like, you don't want to attack Coke for the amount of sugar if that's one of your sponsors. Especially in the day of college football when teams are getting names of companies on fields and Neil Money coming in and all that. You don't want to kick off your sponsor. But anyway, I always thought that was funny, that gamesmanship between Brian Kelly and Lane Kiffin. It is definitely tough there. But Tom Brady was at the Fanatics conference. Stephen A. Smith was there as well. And we'll get into Tom Brady at the top of the hour when he talks about the biggest threat he sees to the Kansas City Chiefs. But he talked about several things. Talked about Mahomes. He also talked about the art of sitting a quarterback for a year.
There used to be college programs. Now there are college teams. You're no longer learning a program. You're learning a playbook. And the program is ultimately, like at Michigan, for me, that was a pro-style program. 5 years I got to learn how to drop back pass, to read defenses, to read coverages, to be coached. I had to learn from being seventh quarterback on the depth chart to moving up to third to ultimately being a starter. I had to learn all those things in college. That was development. Then I went to New England, and I was developed by Coach Belichick and the offensive staff there. I didn't start my first year. I think it's just a tragedy that we're forcing these rookies to play early. But the reality is the only reason why they are is because we dumbed the game down, which has allowed them to play. It used to be thought of at a higher level. We used to spend hours and hours in the offseason and training camp trying to be a little bit better than next year. But I think what happens is it discourages the coaches from going to deep levels because they realize the players don't have the opportunity to go to a deep level, so they're just going to teach them where they're at.
And things were different, too, in those days. You did have to pay the first-round quarterbacks more money than what they're being paid now. But agree with Tom on most instances that it's the perfect storm where Patrick Mahomes got to sit a year behind Alex Smith. Now, you can make the argument what would have happened at halftime, that Titans game with a divisional round where they lost by 1 point and they would have put Mahomes in that game. Would it be seven straight AFC title games? Would that have ruined his development? Because he was NFL MVP the next year. So we talk all the time about what would happen. Of course, when you get to the playoffs, you've been groomed all season. You sit there, Alex Smith was having him over for dinner, teaching him how to be a pro and all this. I think it was good. I think it was the perfect storm. I think other teams are trying to create it. And obviously, Aaron Rodgers got to step in for Brett Favre. Look at a Hall of Famer stepping in for Hall of Famer. You know, guys like Troy Aikman, you know, he wore it early on his rookie year. Peyton Manning, the same thing. But I think nowadays, NFL teams want to see what they got. Like Bo Nix, they'll find out real quick what they got in Denver. Is he starting right away? Should rookie quarterback start? Jaden Daniels is going to get the nod in Washington. Caleb Williams is going to get the nod in Chicago. Rookies as starting quarterbacks? You're going to take your lumps, but now teams move away from their starting quarterbacks fast. Mention Zach Wilson when he got taken by the Jets. He was traded to Denver for a seventh-round pick. You saw Justin Fields. It was going to be the hope and the promise of the Bears. Now he's in Pittsburgh. But teams aren't keeping their quarterbacks anymore. Josh Rosen was let go right away. I mean, they move on. But I think the urgency for teams to find their quarterbacks and find it early, get that year of playing for your starting quarterbacks because everybody's chasing the next best thing. But I am with Brady. I do think it's the best thing. But the problem is, you got to find a special quarterback. Because guys like Joe Flacco, remember he didn't want to help Drew Lock and all that, didn't want to help him. You find quarterbacks that don't want to help the guy that's coming in to take his job. So you need a quarterback on the way out. I mean, even Kirk Cousins. I'm sure he's not thrilled about having Michael Penix behind him. I'm sure he's not thrilled by throwing incompletions and everybody in the fans cheering for Michael Penix to come in the game. But having the Alex Smith with the Chiefs, that was a special circumstance. But I feel all teams are trying to chase it. And Tom Brady would have started earlier had it not been for Drew Bledsoe's injury. So he stepped right in there and Wally pipped him, to be honest with you. But the perfect situation is to have that quarterback groom. But the problem is quarterback playing the NFL is not that great. And really, if you're the Chiefs, do you ever see them grooming anybody? It's not what they do. I mean, I know Shane Buechel was here and showed some good signs going forward. And, you know, people were excited about Shane Buechel. But it's not Andy Reid's job to develop a quarterback that's going to end up with another team. It's not his job to develop a quarterback that's going to be playing against teams someday somewhere else. That's why you see the Nick Foles of the world. That's why you see the Chad Hennies, the Matt Moores of the world, the Blaine Gabberts, the Carson Wentz. Just guys who say, hey, we need one drive from you. You know, they're average NFL quarterbacks. They're not going to pee down their legs. Not going to get overly excited. But I think that perfect storm of quarterback. Listen, I think Tom Brady's in a dream world right now compared to what the NFL is right now. That's a perfect scenario, which doesn't happen. It happened here, but it's not like it happens anywhere else.
I also think his judgment is cloudy because it happened where he was, too. Like, but Drew Bledsoe was, I don't want to get into the top five, top 10 conversation about the 2001 Patriots, but Drew Bledsoe was a quarterback who had started in the Super Bowl.
He was good.
He was a good NFL quarterback. A productive NFL quarterback by the standard of the era, and he was in front of Brady. So Brady got actually a year plus to learn from Bledsoe and learn all those things. But that's because Tom Brady was a sixth round pick. Like, I think if we look back and flash back to 01, 02, 03, what was happening in the NFL is happening now. Your rookie quarterback has to play because if you bench the kid and you don't play him, and you lose games with pick a veteran, Minshew, Tyrod Taylor. We've seen lots of quarterbacks fill that void. And you start losing and you ride it out, you might not have a job the next year. You as the GM might just, you lose a year to know. Like, it's different. I know it's not the same. But look what just happened with the Vikings. They lost the most valuable commodity of a first-round pick, the fifth-year option. They now have 3 years to decide if they got their guy at quarterback because J.J. McCarthy is missing year one. That's now the whole game. Figure it out early, and then you can eject and decline the fifth-year option and get another quarterback, or you know you have your guy and you sign him up long-term. Like, Tom Brady's theory works great on Madden. it works great in the new NCAA football game. You redshirt the big star freshman and you're fine. But in practice, what you have to do is find out if you have the guy fast so that you can either A, surround him with talent and give him the contract, or B, eject and try again the same way a lot of teams have given up and tried again. Look at the Bears. They gave up on Justin Fields, who's still on a rookie deal, to go get the next guy. That is the path. It's not, hey, they wait 2 or 3 years, then a year or three, we find out if he's viable. That's just not how the NFL works.
Well, you see so many, I mean, just going back to like Josh Rosen and stuff, hey, it's not our guy. That's why they went and got Kyler Murray right away. You know, it's not our guy. You realize fast when they're starting early if it's your guy or not, but you almost force that way because you don't want to sit there that next year. Because, yeah, Patrick Mahomes' second year, NFL MVP. That doesn't always happen. That was his first year starting NFL MVP. Perfect scenario with Alex Smith. Again, it was the perfect storm that Alex Smith is willing to, you know, check the ego at the door there and groom Patrick Mahomes. But that was such a rare instance of what happens in this league. The other teams are trying to chase that, just not going to find it. Tom Brady also talked about what makes Patrick Mahomes good. This is kind of surprising because this has nothing to do with his on the field presence.
Patrick Mahomes in 6 years, 6 AFC championship games, 4 Super Bowl appearances, 3 Super Bowl titles, 3 Super Bowl MVPs. We look at him and we say he's great. I don't know if I've heard anyone ask this question of a quarterback. A lot of times when we look at greatness today, we compare them to generations. What would they have been if they had played in a different generation? When you look at somebody like a Mahomes, for example, what would he have been in the era of football you just praised?
Yeah, I think he would be better. And I'm saying he's already great.
He's already great.
I mean, believe me, he's, in my opinion, the best quarterback in the NFL. And his, why? I could talk about his physicals because, you know why? When I look at him and I see why he's great, I see the way that he's endeared himself to his teammates. I see the joy they have when they're out there playing together. So I love when I see his rapport with his teammates, with his coaches, how he communicates after the game. I'm listening to the press conferences as much as I'm watching him throw a tight spiral. Because that's ultimately what that position is about. Yeah, it's about your ability to be physically gifted and run and throw on the move and drop his arm angle and read coverage and throw the ball deep. It's also about how the message you're creating every day to your fans, to your teammates, to your coaches, how you present yourself on the field, off the field, how you handle wins and losses. That to me is just as important in the development of a player. And I think the challenge that I see with him as he gets older, he's not as young as he was, and can he relate to the young players? I believe he will. Mm-hmm. He's now had a degree of success. Does that continue to motivate him? That's going to be up to him. There's going to be a lot of things that now happen in his life, his children, and as he grows that are probably external from football. How does he deal with those? Mm-hmm. I believe he's got a good foundation to deal with those.
So there's Tom Brady on Patrick Mahomes. It was Stephen A. Smith introducing the question. But the way his teammates are endeared to him, I just look back to his Camp Pat that he has down in Texas, and the guys go down there because they hang out off the field too. You know, it's about dinner. It's about video games. They have to buy into the quarterback. You need to run through a brick wall for him. And you know what? As much success as he's had, he seems like a regular dude. He seems like the guy, like Joe Montana was a regular dude. He's take different linemen. He'd play practical jokes on Neil Smith and steal his bat that he used to use in the locker for his sack dances. Joe Montana would take out his linemen, the Bows in mine at River Falls, and they had training camp. Just a dude. I can totally see Patrick Mahomes as a dude. You know, with the golf carts he gave last year to his linemen? Has there been anything that he's – because, Rob, you guys have him on every week. Isn't that the most regular dude that's got 3 Super Bowl MVPs? I mean, the fact is he's pretty much the same way he's always been. Always.
I mean, he can blend into any situation.
Yeah.
Like, he looked fine at the Met Ball, or the Met Gala, excuse me. But he can also just – we've seen videos and photos on social media where he's just hanging out with his, you know, friends at the Christmas pop-up bar. He checks all the boxes. And, like, we talked to former players. They all like, yeah, he's, like, the nicest, most down-to-earth dude. Like, he has a one-of-the-guys type of energy.
That's what I was looking for. You know, Bryce Young kind of showed a little bit in the last year, but didn't translate to the field. But you got to win the locker room, man. And he did. I mean, it was no endorsements that first year, just, you know, hanging low. And He helps his teammates out. I mean, gets some endorsement deals. Heck, he's got the head coach endorsement deals as well. But he spreads the wealth, but he just seems like a regular dude. You know, guys that come to this team, they're going to get cut. You know, Mahomes gives them good ideas going forward. He's never forgot where he's come from. Still helps Texas Tech. They put his name on the field. Did you see what they did with their offensive coordinators? They knew the Patrick Mahomes offensive coordinator room and quarterback. Did you see they renamed their to the Patrick Mahomes room? It's even right there in big letters at Texas Tech. Like, he's got that going for him. Regardless, Tom Brady also spoke on who's the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs repeating this year. We'll discuss that next.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.